Welcome to Realty Universal Radio. Randy Zachary, my name. How are you? If you're listening live, of course, it's a Wednesday, or as our Geico friends would say, Hump Day! Yeah, I love that commercial. Natalie Mullinex, not with us today. She had an accident. She's okay. And I'm sure she'll be sharing, kind of some of the details when she returns. But in the hospital for some surgery, not a car accident, nothing major like that, but obviously still very painful. Keep her in your prayers, if you would, and thoughts. And appreciate that. And she'll be back again. So it is up to me, Randy Zachary, normally kind of the co-host Ed McMahon type guy, to talk a little bit of real estate today in this first segment. In the second segment, Deborah Wittig is going to join us from TakeOnLife.net. She is amazing, nationally syndicated radio host and Deeper Path Whole Life Certified Coach. I know that sounds pretty spooky, but it's cool. It's very, very cool. I've just seen that when I've mentioned Deeper Path, people go, whoa. But it's a cool deal, and she's amazing. You're going to love what she has to say. It's going to be fun. So Deborah Wittig joins us in the second half. And so let's dive into a few of these. I got these from Natalie, and going to just share them with you. Year-end real estate tax tips is what we're talking about. If you're a homeowner, you know this really already, but owning a home really represents one of the best ways, if not the best way, to keep your money in your bank account and not in Uncle Sam's. But the Internal Revenue Service isn't exactly hanging bells around its neck to help you find these tax breaks, so you've kind of gotta look for them. Unfortunately, some of the breaks are so significant that they're hard to miss, such as the mortgage interest deduction, whereby homeowners, of course, can deduct from their income the interest they pay on their mortgages. Many other tax breaks as well, however, frequently overlooked, which is a shame because they're often a simple matter of planning and timing. So here's a few, just to think about it. And again, these are kind of tips that whether you're an investor or just a plain old homeowner like me, these will benefit you. So the first one is, it's all in the timing, really. I mean, most tax experts' advice boil down to one basic premise: defer income on your real estate as long as possible and accelerate expenses as quickly as possible. Let me say that one again. Defer income on your real estate as long as possible and accelerate expenses as quickly as possible. Scott Estill is a tax attorney, says most people have the idea that if they can get a bigger deduction now, they'll take it and they'll worry about the next year when that gets here. But Estill says that one simple way to lighten your tax burden in the coming year is to delay the receipt of payments on rental properties until after the first of the year. Again, very simple, but it's a matter of timing. So, for instance, if you collect rent on January 1st, the income from that payment won't be taxed until next year. So there you go. You've saved some money. By the same token, if your mortgage on your property tax payments, early payments which might not be due until after the new year, your mortgage interest deduction will be larger, or you can deduct the early tax payment from your current year income. Another way is embrace the holiday spirit. There's a number of holiday activities that could and should be used to your tax advantage. This is coming on the heels of this news report a couple weeks ago of how much money the IRS spent, or the government spent, I should say, on alcohol for parties. And that's a whole other kind of a debate. But certainly deductions can be taken for a holiday party if it's primarily for business. There's the rub. If it's primarily for business, that means you can deduct any expense related to the party, whether that means you bought new wine glasses or or paid to have a cleaning person come or whatnot. So again, embracing the holiday spirit can help. You recall Bill Clinton donated his old underwear and then took tax deductions, valuing the underwear at $2 a pair. Bill, if anything is frugal, and that's amazing. If you donate real estate, you can take a larger deduction, of course, but the size of the deduction is determined by the market value of the property rather than your own assessment of its value. Let me say that one again. You can donate real estate, you can take a larger deduction, but the size of the deduction is determined by the market value of the property rather than your own assessment of its value. So unlike underwear, shoes, used stuff, there's an actual real number that you must find and attach to that tax deduction. You can't just assess the value like you can stuff you give to the Goodwill or whatnot. So if you develop undeveloped land, like to a church, for example, you may deem the property to be worth $60,000. But if an assessor values it at $25,000, the size of your deduction will be the $25,000. So, again, something to think about, really. And there's one more that's really, again, it seems like it's a simple thing, but pay off your debt, right? Think about all those Americans who took advantage of the 40-year low interest rates to take out equity loans on their homes and also have credit card debt. They may wish to pay off credit card debt with the equity loans before the year ends. I would love to do that. Actually, we don't have any more equity loans. We did pay all those off. And we have very minimal credit card debt, thanks to Dave Ramsey. I know, he says no credit card debt, but we have very minimal. The idea is that if you pay off your credit card, of course, debt with your home equity loan, you can deduct the interest on the payments. The interest on your credit card debt normally is not deductible unless the expenses on your credit card are incurred for business purposes. Uh-huh. Pretty slick. Again, something that you may not have thought about. Another nifty tax break, which is often overlooked, according to Estelle, the tax attorney we referenced earlier, applies to people who have sold their homes this year. The points paid on a mortgage on your primary home are deductible, but they are amortized over the life of the loan. For example, if you paid points on a 30-year mortgage, every year you would deduct 1/30 of the points you paid up front. Okay? So during the year that you sell, however, you can accelerate the amortization so that you can deduct the remaining value of the points that you paid. So, yeah, just another kind of simple way to think through what you need to be doing and thinking about here towards the end of the year. We're going to be back on the other side, and we are going to have with us Deborah Wittig, and she is a whole life coach, author, nationally syndicated radio talk show host, and she's going to be with us, and we're going to talk about taking on life, overcoming obstacles, creating a drama-free zone, among other things, during this holiday season. So don't you dare go anywhere. Randy Zachary in for Natalie Mullinex on Realty Universal Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Mike Kruko of the Giants, and you are listening to the Zach Man.
Randy Zachary?
I want to say, this show is a runaway drunk.
Check this out.
Ready? We roll?
Rolling.
What's up, Merced? This is Jeremy Affeld, the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to Celebration Radio.
This is Buster. You're listening to Randy and Monica.
Welcome to Maximizing Your Potential with Danny Glover. Danny is a master trainer and coach. Here's your friend, Danny Glover.
Today's word is the word excellence. You know, a lot of people tend to be perfectionistic, and that is not what I'm speaking of when I speak of excellence. Excellence means that you use what you have You do what you do to the very best of your ability, and you do that every time. You don't join the crowd of also-rans that are going along at a get-by rate. No, you step beyond that, and you shoot for the prime target of the very best you can deliver every time. When you do that, you will become known as a person of excellence, and I challenge you today to set that as your goal. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us for Maximizing Your Potential with Danny Glover. For more information on Danny's services, go to GloverConsults.com. That's GloverConsults.com.
Welcome to Angelo Poli's podcast. Angelo is an internationally recognized leader in the fitness industry, Huffington Post blogger, and wellness consultant specializing in postural alignment and nutrition. His clients have been featured on the cover of everything from Sports Illustrated to Forbes and seen everywhere from MTV to ESPN. And he's with us now.
So talk to me about the psychology of successful dieting, Angelo. I mean, I am a serial dieter. Talk about the psychology of successful dieting, maybe some nuggets in a kind of a short period of time that you could give us to help us in the near term, and then maybe some long term making it last.
Well, over time, what we've found, what I've found in talking with people is that every dieter is going to have a couple of obstacles. Basically, we can put those psychological obstacles into two categories. One is unique to the dieter, in other words, their personal circumstance, their own preferences, lifestyle, family circumstance, schedule. All of those things are related to what makes their experience with dieting unique. But then there's a very, very large category that falls under issues and obstacles that every dieter on earth has to face. And the nice thing is we know what those obstacles are in advance, because every dieter before them, have had to deal with that, and so we can preemptively put things in place to manage those issues. One of the things that we see a lot is the mindset that nutrition and eating good and dieting is all about willpower. And that's propagated by all the TV shows that we see that, you know, are somewhat for entertainment value, not all, but oftentimes it'll be featuring people that have addictions to food, are very emotionally driven with their eating, and that absolutely is out there. But by and large, the average person, regardless of whether they have just a few pounds or a lot of weight to lose, the reason that we struggle with our weight and with dieting has to do more with time allocation than actual willpower. So to illustrate, we want to eat healthy, so we wake up in the morning, we eat a good breakfast, and then out the door we go, assuming that we're going to be able to continue that healthy eating strategy. The reality of our lifestyle is that that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Here's the reality. We leave the house, and pretty soon we have to meet this deadline. The boss is calling. We have to drop off Johnny. We're late for this. We have to be there. So what do we end up doing? We end up not having enough time to eat, so time goes on, and then pretty soon your blood sugar tanks. Your body says, guess what? You need to eat something now, otherwise you're going to be a very unhappy person. And so you look around, and you're going to grab whatever is in your vicinity. And I guarantee that's not going to be, oh, I'm going to drive home, put on my apron, chop vegetables, and grill some chicken. It's just not going to happen. So that's where we get thwarted. So if I had to put a particular label on what's going to predict whether or not we're successful with our nutrition or not, it's going to be preparation and having your food that is healthy available to you or planned out in one way or another. For my personal clients, I actually require them to use an ice chest. In fact, I give them a whole kit. I explain that you're going to use an ice chest, you're going to have a quality water container, water bottle, you're going to use a can opener, and you're going to bring with you a pre-selected healthy salad dressing. I try to explain to people that when we get in the circumstance of not having enough time, I don't want you to think, where can I go and get a prepared meal? What restaurant can I go to? What drive-thru can I hit? Don't think in those terms. Think in the terms of, A, first, you should have your meal already prepared and with you. But if that didn't happen, I want you to look for a grocery store, not a restaurant. Here's why. You can go in and get exactly what you need. You can do it quickly, and as long as you have kind of your survival kit with you, your ice chest, your can opener, your pre-selected salad dressing, and your beverage, your water, you're going to be just fine. You can go in and get the ingredients that you need quickly and put together something that's healthy and going to promote your weight loss goals.
Thanks for joining us for Angelo Poli's podcast. You don't have to be an NFL quarterback to have Angelo as your trainer. He's available even if you don't live in his area. Skype is a beautiful thing. For more information on Angelo Poli and what he has to offer you, go to angelopoli.com.
Log Talk Radio.
And welcome to this segment of the Realty Universal Radio program. Randy Zachary here, in for Natalie this week, and hanging out our second half of the show. Always the goal to inspire and mobilize you to be the change in the world really that you seek. And we've had this powerhouse parade of guests for, wow, this whole year, and it continues today with Deborah Wittig. She is with us, and Deborah, you know, it would take quite a while just to kind of give you her bio, but nationally syndicated radio host, certified whole life coach, and speaker with the Deeper Path team, and she loves to empower folks to conquer obstacles, really, and we're going to get into that, to take on life and to awaken the warrior within, and there is a lot there. And we're gonna get into a little bit of each of those categories. I've been on Deborah. I've been on your blog reading some stuff, and man, it's good. TakeOnLife.net is where they can jump on there. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am so glad to be on here.
You know, I follow you, of course, on Facebook, and you know, find myself liking all of your quotes and your comments, and just enjoy, again, your whole thing, your whole deal about, you know, conquering obstacles and pushing through and taking on life. In fact, takeonlife.net, again, the website. And we're going to get into a little bit of everything. I'm going to kind of go down the blog, and I'd love to maybe, you know, talk a little about, delve into the conquering obstacles, kind of teaching that you do. A little bit of the Wake and the Warrior, and I love the drama-free zone that you talk about.
I do,
especially
too.
This time of year. I think we all need this time of year a little drama-free zone teaching. Before we do, let's just kind of give the folks a sense of maybe kind of your story a little bit, kind of who you are, you know, where you've come from, and what brought you to this place of being a whole life coach and speaker.
Well, I like to think that I'm just a regular person, and that's something that means a lot to me when I hear other speakers that inspire me to realize, hey, they're flesh and blood, they have feelings, they have their own drama and things that go on in life, job, family, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm just a regular person, but I have a passion to help people to see that they're more than what they are, to help them to press into their destiny. And, of course, to do that, we always have some obstacles to overcome to be all that we're called to be. And that's my passion, is to help people see that and help them come through it. It wasn't something that, oh, well, now that I'll get paid, I'll do this. It was one of those things that I've done it all my life. I've always been attracted to the people who seem to be just hanging out, letting life happen to them, maybe not trying very hard. Maybe they gave up. I've always been attracted to those people. You know, and not so much the really high performance people. I was drawn to the others, and not because I felt like them, but because I always felt, you know what, I'm no better than you are. Come on, I'll help you, and let's go. I'll take you with me, and we're going to go higher, and we're going to do better. That's been my mindset. You know, that's where
it
is.
And so that's, yeah, I love that. Yeah, there's a little bit of a delay, I think, here with the processing with Blog Talk Radio, so forgive me for jumping in. I do love that your, you know, really your purpose, you know, and your passion have intersected, and really what you do, quote-unquote, for a living has come from, you know, really discovering or rediscovering, you know, what you've been doing. And I think success, I think, leaves clues, doesn't it? When people always ask, well, what's my purpose? You know, well, what keeps coming up? What do you keep doing? What keeps happening in your life? I mean, you know, so that's your story, isn't it?
Yes, that's it. And that's what I tell people, too. It's like, what kind of people are attracted to you? What do you find yourself doing all the time? What irritates you the most? Because right in there, you're also going to find a calling. You know, those that don't try and throw their hands up, go, oh, I'll give up. That's one of those things that irritates me. But I think, given what I just said, you could probably understand why now. Because I want to see people go higher, to have them throw up their hands and go, oh, it's just too hard. Like, oh, no, it's not. Come on, we can do this.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go down a little bit of this of your blog here, and under the Conquering Obstacles blog, number one says, we might not be able to choose circumstances, but we can always choose our response. Can you kind of break that down a little bit for us?
Oh, yes. And that's, you know, to say we might not be able to choose our circumstances is being fair, because sometimes things, they happen and we didn't choose it. Sometimes there's things that we do get ourselves into. I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we cause our own trouble. But there are a lot of things that they're not our fault, but there we are. We're thrown in it. There's drama swirling all around us, and we're going, oh, my gosh, how do I get out of this? And so that's what it is. We don't get to choose the circumstances. But we can choose how we respond, in that we can choose the self-pity, the way of going, oh, why me? Why does this always happen to me? Oh, my gosh, I'm going to get depressed and go to bed. I've done that. Mm-hmm. I've done that in the past. I know what that is. Or we can say, you know what? Okay, yeah, this is tough, but I'm going to take one step at a time, and I'm going to get through this. Or we, if it's a family thing, we are going to get through this one step at a time. I'm going to quit asking why. I'm going to start searching for, okay, is there some positive here? Is there a positive step I can make to enable this to be better? But either way, I'm going to choose to maintain my peace and not freak out over the whole thing. And that's a big thing. And it's a choice. It really is a choice to hold our peace and to not give in to the despair and all of those things that can come. And I get it. I mean, I've seen some pretty serious things in my life and around my life where the choice of despair seemed pretty big. You know, it loomed large over me. Like, okay, no, I'm not going there, because whatever we're going through, it will pass. It's not going to be here forever, and we can hold on to that and go, this is going to pass. Things will be better, and I can look back on it at some point and say, hey, you know what? This made me stronger, and I'm a more mature and hopefully a little more intelligent of an adult afterwards. You know, I might not feel like it right now in the middle of the stress, but afterwards I can look back and say, okay, yes, I've overcome this. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it say, you know, life doesn't happen to us, it happens for us. And in every challenge, you know, there's a lesson, there's growth.
Yes.
You know, and so when we look at it that way, I had that happen today, and it was around finances, to be honest with you. You know, we just had a major thing go on with our car, and, you know, a lot of money, and it's Christmas time, and, you know, things were tight anyway. And I can go to that place of panic, scarcity, lack, fear, right? All that stuff. And I'm getting better at going, okay, Lord, you know what? This is a chance for me to practice being in peace, you know, when the externals say you should be worrying. So I really am getting better in my old age at kind of flipping it, you know, and saying, okay. And then you got to keep working on it, because that kind of gremlin, that critic, whatever it is, that, you know, demon, whatever we want to call it, that would bring us down, right, and make us want to worry, you know, we have to keep fighting it. But it gets easier as you practice it, doesn't it?
Exactly. I was going to say that, too. It does get easier as we practice it more. And there's a deeper step two is to learn to be thankful even in the hard things. And that's been a lesson I've been learning this past year, and again, there's something in my blog there under dark places or stormy places. I don't remember what I called it at this point, but to be thankful of, okay, this trial is not of my choosing. I don't like it, but I'm thankful. And I just, and the thing about being thankful is it opens you up for whatever grace, whatever strength there is to move in it. It almost disarms whatever the negative stuff is that's going on around you. To just say, okay, I'm thankful for this. You know, there's going to be some advantage to come out of this in the end. But the bottom line is, whether we choose to get into panic or despair or whatever, or if we choose to walk in peace and just be thankful that, hey, I'm alive and I'm going to walk through this, mm-hmm. we're going to pass through that thing regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless how we choose to respond, we still have to go through it. So why not go through it in the way that's, you know, easiest emotionally and easiest emotionally on everybody around you to just choose to walk in peace and trust that, hey, this will pass. We're going to get through it. It's okay.
That's great. You're right. We're going to get through it anyway. I had a pastor friend once say, you know, think of all those times, you know, in your life that you thought you would never get through something. Think, you know, mm-hmm. think of all those times you're like, wow, I don't know if we're going to make it through this. You're still here, aren't you?
It's true. It is so true. So yeah, we have a choice. Oh. I mean, and I've faced that choice too of actually, you know, shaking my fist at God. And we do that. I mean, we can be honest that there are times we're just like, why? You know, what, you know, I thought of, you know, I've done everything right. And we go into this whole, you know, why mode. But then, you know, I've gotten convicted that, okay, I could pass through this and be all angry and mad and, oh, I can't imagine all the grief that I create around me by keeping that attitude. Or I could just say, hey, you know what, I thank you, I trust you, I want to get through it. And hey, if, you know, people aren't God believers, it's okay. You just say, hey, I'm still going to get through this, and I can choose to walk in peace anyway. So.
Wow, good stuff. Deborah Wittig, again, our guest. TakeOnLife.net is her website, TakeOnLife.net, and there's all kinds of cool stuff on there. And we're kind of going through a little bit of some of her blog on there, because there are different categories. In fact, I'm looking at it right now, and it's Conquering Obstacles, Drama-Free Zone, Healthy Lifestyle, In the Storm, and on and on and on. It goes the rules. I kind of want to get into that. But there's one more here in the Conquering Obstacles that I'd love to have you talk about, and then we'll move on to maybe one of the others here. And this is difficult. Here we go. It says, we can choose to walk in love and honor toward others instead of offense. All right.
There we go. Back to the choice. I guess in everything in life, we still have a choice. And that's, again, I'm not saying any of this is easy. Okay, I'm not going to say, oh, this mm-hmm. is easy, just choose, and life is just grand. I'm not saying that. But we can choose. And I think we all have people that we don't agree with them, we don't believe like them, we don't think like them. Or we even have those that they're intentionally offensive. They like to that finger in and push those buttons. We have people like that in our lives. But still, we don't have to give in to it. We can choose to honor them and love them simply because they're a fellow human being. And despite anything they're doing, they have the same basic needs we do. They need love. They need acceptance. They need food and water and shelter and, you know, all those very, very basic things. They're still a human being. Mm-hmm. And, of course, me being me, I always evaluate the why of people. I evaluate the why of myself, too. Why do I do what I do? And so when I look at something like that, I think, you know, there's a reason for that. You know, if somebody's being overly offensive, they've got some pretty good hurts going on. So, you know, I honor them even more for that, to see if maybe somehow my peace and love toward them will help break through that, maybe allow me to bless them in some way. But I'm going to love them regardless.
Yeah, you're right. Given space, because we're all kind of, you know, we're all broken and we all have our stuff, and it's much easier. And that's why I think Jesus talked about the log and the beam and the speck in the eye and all that. You know, tend to be able to see the problems in other people, and yet we also have those issues. And I was going to ask you this, because being a life coach and being the kind of person you are, intuitive, and you know, probably able to kind of discern, maybe the gift of discernment would be another way of saying it spiritually, but kind of discern motives, kind of see people past some of their facades and see what's going on. That makes it a little tougher even then, doesn't it? Because, you know, you see the motives, and to you they might be pretty clear, like, wow, this person's kind of being deceptive, you know, or whatever the thing is, and it gets a little tougher to I've struggled with that because I'm kind of an intuitive person. I can kind of see through, you know, the front that people put up, and it makes it a little more difficult. But like you, I've worked on processing it and going, okay, so why are they acting like that? Okay, yeah, they're probably pretty broken. And, oh, like me, okay, I'll let it go. You know?
And here's a bigger challenge, because I think just whether we're intuitive or not, I think the default position for us as human beings is to see the negative in people. And, you know, I mean, goodness, we feast on it on TV, don't we, with all the negative news and all of that. And that's the default position. But when we look at people, and that's, you know, something I didn't mention, but because you brought it up, I'm thinking, yes, to go deeper than what the motive is, to see what is the gift that this person brings to the world. Is there something I can help uncover? If I'm discerning this level, can I discern a little deeper down to a piece of beauty that's been placed inside that person, a piece of glory placed inside that person that they are to be offering to the world, but they don't know how to offer it because, well, hey, there's obstacles in the way.
Mm.
I would call it treasure hunting. You know, when you go dig for treasure, it's not out there in the open. Oh, look, there's a diamond for all to see. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, no. You've got to dig for it. You've got to, you know, maybe go through the mud and rocks and all kinds of stuff to get to that beautiful gem. That's how it is in people. That's how it was in me, and I'm still digging and excavating, and bless the hearts of the people who helped me excavate this stuff. You know, poor things, they had to deal with me. So that's how I look at that, too, is, you know, there's a gem inside people. There's something they bring to life, and if I can help them uncover that, you know, that's a powerful thing. That's a thing to keep in mind, and it helps me kind of get past some of the rocks and mud that might be there on the surface.
Good stuff. Deborah Wittig again, and I knew this would fly by. We've got, looks like, just a few more minutes with Deborah. And again, takeonlife.net is her website. And checking out, by the way, Big Mo Radio, you can check out that on Facebook and see not only Deborah, but others on there as well, kind of a group of just some real powerhouse folks who help you get momentum in your life. And Deborah is one of those national hosts. And so, again, go on Facebook and just type in Big Mo, and you can see some more of hear some more of Deborah's radio programs. Now, let's hit on this drama-free zone, because we're in the holiday season, family is, wow, family, there's such a kind of a love hate, I'll just say it, with family, right? We love family, and I'll say it, we hate family sometimes. And it's, you know, holidays can sometimes be not too fun. I saw something the other day that was amazing, and, you know, love Bono, love you too. And there was a quote from one of Bono's songs where the line is, home is where the hurt is. And it's kind of a takeoff of the typical home is where the heart is, but the meaning of this blog I was reading was, it's both and. Home is where the heart is. Home is where the hurt is. We hurt each other because we're the closest to each other. So there's drama.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about a drama-free zone, either with family or in the workplace, and maybe a couple of tips for people in that regard.
Yeah, I think it translates no matter where we go, because drama-free begins with me. So if we can remember that, I've already touched on it in this interview somewhat. We didn't call it drama-free, but I'm responsible for my responses. You know, so that's, if we can really get that, I'm responsible for how I respond. I can choose to respond in honor. I can choose to respond in peace toward people. You know, remembering that hurting people hurt people. And remembering to look for that gold, the treasure in those people, because these are family, and they're precious people to us, and to choose not to get engaged in the drama or the arguing. You know, I don't know about you. You know, there have been times in families past where there's been some that they like to push the buttons intentionally. And I've learned that, hey, if I don't feed into that, and I just love them, and I meet them in places where I do have agreement, everything is great. We're fine. And we just choose not to take that path of argument and dissension, but finding the common ground and learning to really, really laugh and enjoy each other for who we are instead of who we want them to be. Because I think that's where we fail sometimes, too, is if they would just be this way, then everything would be great. But you know what? They're probably saying the same thing about us. Well, if Deborah would just, you know, be quiet and quit analyzing everybody or, you know, whatever. You know, they have the same argument against me. I know that. So to find the common ground, to really laugh and really enjoy, because after all, most of the arguments don't matter. You know, if there's serious hurt, really serious issues, then those need to be talked about calmly. If need be, bring in a counselor to help deal with those issues, because I'm not making light of very serious family issues, you know, like abuse and those kinds of things. I'm not making light of those at all. But if we're, you know, just simply arguing over who didn't give a gift last year or, you know, something ridiculous like that, or, you know, well, they always picked on me when I was in high school. Those are things we can kind of need to learn to get past. But drama-free begins with me. It starts right there.
I like that.
And that's the majority of the fight is in ourselves and whether we choose to be offended or not. So we don't have to give in to the offense. I know it gets offered a lot of times. Sometimes it's dumped on us, but we still don't have to take it into our hearts and wear it. We can let it go.
That's good. That is really, really good. Drama free begins with me. I wrote that puppy down because that's so true. Yeah. And we choose. It gets back to that choice thing over and over and over in all these areas, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Wow. So so drama free begins with me. That's cool. I want to click now. I'm just freestyling here. I'm on your blog. Rules. No, we don't want to go to rules. And we already talked about In the Storm. Let's do the healthy lifestyle thing for a minute, because I know that's been a, you know, something that you've really focused on in your own life. And it does tie in, doesn't it? We're this kind of holistic thing, we human beings. And the physical does tie in to the emotional and mental, doesn't it?
It really does, because the stronger we are in our health, that helps us emotionally. I mean, if you think about it, you know, the last time you had the flu, you didn't feel particularly nice toward other people. You know, you were less patient because you felt bad. So it does tie in. And so doing whatever we can do for our physical health, even in this season, I know we're in this holiday season where there's food abounds, everything is there. But, I mean, even choosing to, let's go for a little 30-minute walk, you know, to integrate bits of exercise. You know, I'm not saying everybody has to go become a gym rat. I happen to like being a gym rat. I've learned to enjoy, you know, lifting the weights and all that. But, I mean, anything that gets the body moving is a good thing. And making healthier food choices. And, again, I know we're in the holidays, and I'll just throw this out. It's my own philosophy that in order for me to make this a healthy lifestyle and not a diet, I choose that when we have a family dinner, I'm not going to sit there and eat my little salad while everybody else enjoys. I'm not going to do that. You know, I have my normal routine, and then there's the exception to the rule, which are special occasions. So, and Thanksgiving, I had Thanksgiving. I enjoyed it. And then I got back to my normal routine. And that's how I look at it. You know, I have, you know, my normal, you know, I do high protein and low fat and that kind of stuff. I'm not going to tell anybody how to diet, but just, you know, whatever it is you choose to do that you're saying, hey, this is my healthy norm, then you're okay for your exception, because it's just once in a while, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of in the past, for me, Thanksgiving-type dinners was like daily, and that's what got me into trouble, was making it daily. I've learned to make it special again. It's now special.
Yeah, and that way you feel like there's balance. It gets back to balance. You know that at those certain times you can do that. I experienced that this time around. I had one plate on Thanksgiving, and that was it that day. And then the next day, twice, I had, you know, two more meals, kind of midday and dinner. I had leftovers, and I got to admit they were piled on, and there was a couple cookies involved. And, several cookies. And what I found was, so that was Friday. Let's see, Thursday, Friday. I said, okay, Saturday, I'm back on. Well, We had leftovers still. So literally Sunday I drew the line and I said, okay, today I'm getting back to normal. What is the new normal for me, which is eating well and right. And to do that, what I found, and this is a little bit of a look inside here, but here it is. You got to figure out, what you have to do to get back on track. And so for me, the sugar addict that I kind of unleashed in those couple of days with a lot of the pies and stuff, I realized that I have to stay home. I can't go out and drive around because I'll stop somewhere and get a donut that sugar, when I'm off the wagon, it's a drug. And I have to take radical steps and go, okay, I'm not, and every time that urge came up, I knew what that urge was about. And my mind would play tricks. Fatty would, the old fatty man would say, dude, you got to go do this. You got to go do that. I mean, it would lie to me. Oh yeah, I got to go run to do that. And I know really, and I could call him on it and go, no. You know what you're doing. You don't really need to do that. And literally it takes conversations with yourself, but it works for me. And I just, so that's a little insight into me. I had to, for 2 days to get back off of sugar, I had to like go into rehab, in my house and not go outside.
Yeah, we have to develop whatever our coping plan is. Mine is I'll take it and put it away in the freezer. And so mentally, I'm like, okay, it's there. If I decide I want it, it's there. But for me, out of sight, out of mind. So if I really go crazy, I know it's there. But because I know it's there, I can leave it alone as long as it's not in my face on the counter. So I get that stuff out of my way. And I don't know, I guess I've been eating more clean, more raw fruits and vegetables and leaner meats and all of that, I feel better. And so when I eat the fattening stuff, like the pie and whatever, I don't feel good. I don't feel like I can perform well. I try to run and I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up. That's not normal. And so I get to where I actually long to go back. So give me a salad, please, because I'm just feeling so heavy and just not good. So we actually get used to doing things healthy. Your body craves it and it starts sending you signals. Hey, feed me some greens here, So.
It's a journey. Yeah, you got to figure it out, and then, do it. And if it's that important, we'll find a way. I love that. If not, we'll find an excuse. And that really relates to the food area. For me, I've been battling it all my life, and so I turned 56, and I just realized, and there are a lot of people, friends of mine that are, another 5, 6, 7 years older who are dying, and many of them are obese, and I'm like, okay. So, who am I to think I'm going to somehow cheat, the statistics and the numbers here? If I've been overweight most of my life and I'm 56, TikTok. anyway, that was my wake up call. Deborah, thank you so much. We're out of time, and I knew this would fly by. Deborah Wittig, takeonlife.net, and of course on Facebook, check out Big Mo Radio as well, and you can check out her nationally syndicated radio show there as well. And she would love to connect with you. And again, you can do that by going to takeonlife.net. And thanks again. And I'm sure we'll be talking, but Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And thanks a lot. This was fun.